Jesus' name. Is that all right with anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. But we're covered by the blood. Hey! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
We can live because he rose. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet. He rose. Didn't stay too long. He got up, y'all. That's why no matter what you're dealing with or no matter what you're down in, because he got up, you can get up too. Touch your neighbor and say, you haven't seen the best of me yet. Come on, you ought to declare to somebody who don't think you're going to make it, you haven't seen the best of me yet. It ain't no talk to yourself. You self, the best is yet to come. You have not seen the best yet. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Not just from the grave, in my soul. Something to shout about on there. Ooh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you today for just being God all by yourself. And we're so blessed to be your children. And so, Father, as we come now to hear from you, we pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us right in our situation and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be through your word and your spirit. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
And this word today I have was given to me to encourage believers. And I don't know if you know, my brothers and sisters, that every now and then, as you move from one good grace to glory to the next, that you encounter struggles and situations. But know this, that your struggles only come to strengthen you. And so God wanted me to just encourage somebody. I don't know if it's those of you here in the sanctuary, those who listen by radio, view us by television, or hear by CD or cassette. However it is you get this word, God wanted to encourage somebody. So we're going to be obedient to him today. Turn to Psalms number 13. Psalms number 13. And I want to read these six verses to you, if you will. Psalms number 13, beginning at verse 1, says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." If you got something to shout about, it's a good time to shout. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about from struggle to strength in your soul. David deals with this word that we have before us, my brothers and sisters, in the depths of his soul. He says in verse 2, beginning of that verse, "How long shall I take counsel where? In my soul." Soul, the seat of the emotion. He's dealing with this thing in his soul. One of the things I want you to recognize, brothers and sisters, is no matter how saved you are, how long you've been saved, what you must realize is whenever you become comfortable on one level and God is preparing you and transitioning you to another level, there will be greater challenges, there will be greater troubles, there will be greater opponents coming against you. But in all of these things, you must be confident in the fact that God, one, is with you. And if God is with you, that means all that he is and all that he has is also with you, which means that you are already the conqueror more than. You are already the victor. But what you must do is process through the test. You've got to learn this word process as a part of your inner spirit. You've got to realize that everything that comes to you comes to pass. It comes to pass. It doesn't come to stay. But when it comes, you see it as a test. And when it's through, you have passed. You'll get that on your way home. But what you've got to realize is that God continues to increase you. God continues to evolve you. God continues to lengthen out and give breadth and width and dimension to who you are, what you are, what he gives to you, etc., etc., etc. So God is never, ever comfortable with you remaining the same. And so here, David is dealing with an issue. Some suggest that this is during the time that he was fleeing Saul's attack on his life, or attacks rather, on his life, and there was no peace seemingly nowhere, and it seemed as if when he was looking for God, God somehow was not there. One of the things that I want you to see is his soul's agitation. He was agitated in his soul for several reasons. The first reason is that he had no sense of God's presence. I don't know who you are, but there's a time in your life when it seems like you can't sense God's presence. And my brothers and sisters, there is not a scarier feeling in the world than to be seeking the presence of God and can't seem to find it. I mean, you can have all the money, you can have all of the friends, you can have all of the company, you can have all of the possessions, but when you need God and seek God and don't sense his presence, there is a void and an emptiness like nothing else, and nothing else can take his place. Look at what he says in verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me? Who is he talking to? Oh, Lord. He's talking to God. He's dealing with a sense of not being able to feel God's presence, not being able to sense him there in his situation. But I want you to see something else. Because he doesn't sense God's presence, he also seems to have issues with sensing God's purpose. Look at what he says. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, he says, after he asks again the question, he literally answers it himself in a rhetorical sense. He said, how long will you hide your face from me? Then he says, forever. Because what he's saying is, if I don't sense your presence, then I can't understand your purpose. If you don't show up and tell me what you want me to do, if you don't show up and direct and order my footsteps, if you don't show up and speak a sure word to my soul, to my spirit, to my utter being, then God, I don't know what to do. I am standing at a place where I can't go forward, I can't go backwards, and I'm going to stand at this place until I get direction from you. You see, he was a man with a purpose, and he understood that his purposes came from the will of God. And my brothers and sisters, it'll do us well not to just be busily moving, running, hearing there. If God is not speaking, it means stand still and wait until you get your next directive. If you don't get it, it means he wants you to stay right there and continue to seek him until he reveals himself or his purpose to you. How many times have we got in trouble looking for what we didn't know we wanted, or looking for something that we couldn't even describe that we wanted? How many of you have been hungry for something, didn't know what you wanted to eat? Let me bring it down and put it in our fleshly, carnal ideologies. I mean, see, you got to understand that you can't know the purpose of God without the presence of God. You can't know it. And some folk try to seek his presence. And then when they seek his presence, they don't understand that it is in that presence that God reveals his purpose. God reveals his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I'm talking about literal presence, gifts, blessings, etc. It's in his presence that God does these things, because we are drawn to him, creator and creation, fellowshipping together. But listen at this. Some folk try to seek his purpose bypassing his presence. You can't get his purpose outside of him. And that's the difference between people who are aimlessly moving about, doing and just being busy, and not ever really accomplishing the purpose that God has for them. So he asked the question, will it be forever? And then he goes on and he says again in that same verse, 1 and 2 here, he says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Which literally meant his power. So he had no sense of God's power. Well, in this verse, it reveals to us again, he has no sense of God's presence. He has no sense of God's purpose. And he has no sense of God's power. That's a bad place to be. Amen. Well, truth of the matter is, what do you need his power for if you don't know his purpose? And what do you want his purpose for if you don't seek his presence? You see, you're called to him to do what he wants you to do, not do what you want to do. And so when you see God, and God will let you, you get to that place where you want to do your own thing, God will step back. Let you make your own decisions, let you rip and run. You don't consult him, you don't seek him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. With all, in all thy ways, acknowledge it. Well, you got to talk to him. You got to tell him. You got to consult him. Lord, what do you want me to do? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. He's going to do that. But you have got to seek him to do that. You can't get in the place you want to get in, and after it's messed up, you say, Lord,
what you say?
I'm in the wrong place here. I don't know how I got there. And God said, because you made it your own choice, did it your own way, and now you're in a place where you can't get out of it. You call me now? Well, he'll answer you, but he don't have to answer you in a hurry. Sometimes he lets you make your mind up to be who you want to be, do what you want to be, and then when you come to yourself like the prodigal son, you realize, I cannot be all I need to be without being in his presence, being in his purpose, and being in his power to enact all of the things that he wills for my life. Amen. Now I want to show you something else. Let's look at this text again. Because when he moves from his agitation, he deals now in verse 3 and 4 with the soul's supplication. Because he says, in verse 2, listen, connecting it with verse 1 also, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were, how long shall thou take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now he's asking this question because, again, he recognizes that God is the one who can determine and will determine how long your struggles and your test will last. And you got to recognize that your enemy has but one desire for you, and that's to destroy you. And so don't underestimate the purpose, the power, or the plan of the enemy for your life. Your enemy is not there to see you do good. And the ultimate enemy that we should be clearly aware of is Satan himself. Now, he may use many different tools, but Satan is your enemy. Don't get the two mixed up with the one that we're talking about, who himself is the person, and that's Satan. See, listen at this. He says again, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? How long?
Daily.
Now, it's one thing to have sorrow come every now and then. But how many of you been in a season where every time you wake up, you're crying? You're going through the day, you cry. When you go to sleep, you're crying. You're dealing with sorrow. Even if you've got past the crying, the heart is still aching. Every time you drive, every time you eat, every time you look at yourself, I mean, just sorrow filled with this issue or that strife or this struggle or this situation. He says it happened daily. His enemy was pursuing him daily, and word he got where the enemy was, and sometimes he was closer than at other times. And here he deals with this because he knows if the Lord don't help him, he can't survive. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this again. When he moves on to the soul supplication, verse 3 says, consider and hear, O Lord. Now he claims possession. My God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's saying, God, I need a fresh revelation of you. A fresh revelation of God. You know, my brothers and sisters, here he's saying here, and this is important to understand. When you're going through stuff, one of the tricks of the enemy is to take your eyes off of God. To so fill your eyes with the struggles and the stuff of the flesh or in the world that you forget that your source is bigger than all of that. One of the tricks of the enemy is to get you so torn up so that you are toe up from the floor up. So that, I mean, you are in a pity party so deep that, I mean, it is literally killing you. And so here he's saying, listen, Lord, while I'm going through my struggles and my sorrows and my tests and my mess, I need a fresh revelation
of you. I need my eyes to see something other than the struggle. I need my eyes to see the source. I need my eyes to see more than these issues I'm dealing with. I need my eyes to see the one who is almighty and able to do beyond what I could think or ask or even imagine. I need my eyes once again to get a fresh revelation of what God has done once, he can do again. What he's done for others, he can do for me. And this too shall pass. You see, some of you, if you hadn't gone through it, just keep living. You're going to go through it. And I promise you, he can let stuff come upon you so much that the stuff, if you're not connected to your source, can become overwhelming to you. It happens so fast, one after another. It knocks you down. You never saw it coming. And there you are, flat on your face or on your back. Can't even move a muscle. And yet you can still be reminded of God's power and God's grace and God's mercy that's able to deliver you once again. A fresh revelation is this: when all else fails, you know somebody who can't fail. And it's amazing, because in the flesh we try everything we know first and everybody we can contact that can help us first. And then when all of those things fail, we then remember, oh yeah, God. And some of us need a fresh revelation. And that's one of the ways that fellowship and testimonies help us, because they encourage us and they inspire us. Because one of the things you need to know is that you're going through, you ain't the first to go through it. There's either somebody in the Word or somebody in the world who's going through what you're dealing with. And God will let you hear what he did for them just to encourage you to hold on. Listen, he never left you. You left him. And sometimes, listen to this, brothers and sisters, what he's allowing you to go through is so that in your struggle, you will be strengthened, not just for yourself, but to help another brother or sister that he's going to bring into your contact. Listen to that again. He needed a fresh revelation of God. The word says that in the third verse again, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He not only needed a fresh revelation, but he needed a full restoration. He said, Lord, if you don't change this situation, I ain't gonna be here long. And it's not clear whether or not the power and the pressure of the impending enemy's attack on him was close enough to take him out, or he said, well, you know what, God, just forget about it. I'm gonna just give up and let it be. Now, you know, there are people, brothers and sisters, I know you can't fathom ever thinking about taking your own life. I know there's nothing that bad to you, but there are some people who can't handle some things. Who's tried and tried and tried and tried, and they have not gotten a fresh revelation of God. They've not seen him on this level, on this order. They could look back and see where he's brought them from in the past, but sometimes you reach a point in a place where, because this test is unfamiliar to you, and because you've never been in this place, or because you've been in this place so long, it seems like God is not going to hear you, and if he's not going to hear you, he's surely not going to answer you. And so instead of holding fast to your faith and believing God and depending on his mercy, you just say, well, Lord, since you're not going to help me, then I'm going to give up. And so that giving up many times means either just stopping all of your ability to fight against the enemy and let him overtake you, or say, well, I'm going to beat him to the task. And that's because they don't understand that if you get a fresh revelation of God, you will get a full restoration in your spirit. I mean, listen, when you just get a chance to remember God and let God show up in your situation, he will so inspire you till you begin to realize, wait a minute, God has got this thing fixed. Why am I giving up on God when God has not given up on me? I don't care how dark the situation looks. God can see in the darkest of my days and turn my dark days into bright days. And he can fully Restore me. Back to that place of believing and receiving and flowing in the things of God. Listen at this. I want to move just a little further. After he deals with this in verse 3 and 4, look again at what he says. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He makes clear, brothers and sisters, that when God would restore him, and he's believing, I need you to know this is about faith, because he's praying for God to do something that he has not done yet. One of the things about faith is it don't matter how dark and how far down you are, right there in the darkest depths of your despair, you can begin a turnaround situation while you're still there. Let me put it another way. You don't really have to wait till the battle is over. See, David put it this way. Yay! Though I walk, that's on the way too, through the valley of the shadow of death, look at what he's already determined before he takes one step. I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou, God, art with me. Thy rod, that's for the enemy. Thy staff, that's for when I fall. Come, you know, in other words, when I have issues against me, God's going to deal with them with the rod. But when I got issues in me, God's going to deal with it with the staff. Y'all ain't hearing me. David said, I don't care how the cookie crumbles, God's going to work this thing out. I'm so sure, for I go through before I take one step, that I'm on my way out of this mess before I even go through this mess. And I'm going to shout because I know he's got this thing. I know he's got this thing. I know he's got this thing. Fixed. Listen. I want you to see this. Listen. When he gets this revelation, listen, this revelation creates jubilation. Come on, go with me here. I want to see the soul's jubilation, because we dealt with the soul's agitation and we dealt with the soul's supplication, but we can't end there. We got to deal with the soul's jubilation. Look at verse 5. Look at what he says. But I have trusted in thy mercy. You know what he does, and I got to tell you this. Sometimes when you can't see too far in front of you, sometime when your faith won't reveal your future, yeah, and you're stuck in a rut, yeah, what you need to do is put on your thinking cap, yeah, and just in your thought processes, do a reversal of review. In other words, rewind. How many times you've been in a place that you didn't want to be in? Just rewind and begin to review that you were stuck in a rut and didn't know what to do. Just rewind and review the times the enemy before was messing with you and how many times you didn't think you would make it. But just like he brought you out of this and that and this and that, this, somebody ain't trying to hear me here. And when you look back and see how far God has brought you from, you can see you are closer to your breakthrough than you are to your breakdown. Tell somebody you're closer to your breakthrough than you are to your breakdown. The devil got this thing twisted. The reason why it looks like it looks is because I'm closer to the break of day than I am to my midnight experience. Woo! I wish I had somebody here.